Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right. Your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah. You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. We straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Good morning and welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot. He is a more patriotic than Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
America! America!
So they also got like waffles, deliciously sweet and soft, made with real maple syrup. They got these things called Timbits at Tim Hortons, which is kind of cute. A guest favorite since, well, forever, these bite-sized blasts of flavor come in various snack pack sizes. So pick one up today. You can also get some pastries, cookies, muffins, just a lot of great stuff. I've just been checking out Tim Horton's menu since we got off the air yesterday, Loudbeard.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a heck of a start. Well, you know what? Chris America, the internet is blowing up right now. Because there is a Florida man challenge that is out there, and everybody should participate. We got hit up by our friends over at Rehab Sports Guys, and they hit us up on Twitter, at Scout Team Radio. That's where you can find us. And they said yesterday, Florida man challenge, because you and I, we are both Florida man. And luckily, we do not have any crazy stories. But this challenge says, go ahead and put in your birthday and the term Florida man into the Google search and see what stories pop up. So I just want to start out, and I'm going to give you a minute to do that with your name, and I want to know what stories pop up. But I'm going to go ahead and read just the headlines quickly of the top four stories that popped up when I just typed in Florida man and my birthday. All right. Florida man claims he killed dismembered roommate because he was possibly the next mass killer.
Been there.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that's a good one. Florida man convicted of sex crimes for exposing himself on a web camera. I hope that wasn't me. You've been there, too. Florida man charged in connection with 14 bombs sent to Trump. Okay. All right. We're ramping up here. And last one. This is my favorite. Florida man carrying huge rattlesnake stopped by police after scared locals issue complaints. There we go. That's the one I was looking for. That's
now,
the winner.
Now, when they say scared locals, that's fake news. It's really scared tourists because we're used to seeing rattlesnakes, alligators, all those kinds of things. I think at one point, I think it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago now, Loudbeard, do you remember when the king cobra was loose in Apopka?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People were freaking out.
Yep. Let's see here. I got, let's see. Mine's not as impressive. So yeah. I have Florida doctor has bizarre airport meltdown to prove point. I remember that was last year.
That's a good one. That's not. That's
do you
not
remember?
Too
do you remember that happened?
Yeah, I do. I remember that one.
Like he started saying like I'm not a black man or something weird like that. He wanted to prove that cops don't beat white people and then they beat him. Two men from viral Florida man viral alligator video appeared in court. Now, see, I don't know what this is all about. Let's see what this is all. I'm going to click on this story here and find out. I don't remember a viral alligator video.
No, me neither. Oh, you know the big giant one that walked across the golf course?
No, this is the guy. Okay, I'm looking at it. It's in Duval County, a guy brought an alligator into a grocery store.
Okay. Well, hey,
and
you know what? Sometimes
they put it on.
If somebody brings
a,
their puppy, I don't complain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because puppies, like, just they can pee anywhere.
Yep.
And then you don't want to bring cats because people are allergic to cats. So to me, I feel like alligator is the least dangerous of the three.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. Alligators are friendly pets. I don't know why people always freak out. They're nice creatures. I don't know. It's not that big a deal. It's just an alligator. Come on, get over yourself.
Oh, this screams Florida. College student kills couple found biting face of victim.
Hmm. Was that the bath salts one?
Oh, hold on. Time out. Ladbeard, we need to go to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Judge says Florida man can no longer order pizza. That is blasphemous. I will not stand for it.
Well, it sounds like your birthday was an exciting Florida man day. Yeah, I don't know. This whole challenge is pretty funny. It's a couple of the other tweets that I was seeing out here. One of the ones that I really liked. Florida man who allegedly threatened family with Coldplay lyrics in standoff after SWAT promises him pizza.
Send him to... Well, that's probably why the judge says no more pizza for you. You go crazy when you can't get pizza.
Hmm. Here's another one. Florida man flashes buttocks at IHOP after impersonating a police officer to get free food.
That may or may not have been Loudbeard.
I think it probably was. All right, and then hot sauce saves Florida man after car crashes into Taco Bell.
That was definitely Max Scout team.
Yes, that was definitely Max Getzlin. All right, Florida Man Challenge, a little bit of fun this morning. Thought we'd start out a little different than we normally do. I liked it. I wish mine were a little bit better, though. I mean, I'm okay with the rattlesnake one, but the other ones were just normal stories. I mean, somebody sending bombs to Trump. I mean, I'm sure that threatens. Those threats happen all the time. That's nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that was the big story. That was the big story with the mail bombs. And when that whole thing was going on, they're like, where are they coming from? And then they're like, yeah, it's definitely Florida.
Yeah, Florida man. Florida man. Definitely doing it. All right, Chris America, I'm going to get into some sports stories here because we had a pretty fun sports day yesterday. We had some March Madness action. Baseball was back. I hyped up that big baseball game in Tokyo. So that happened yesterday. We've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. The draft is coming up, NFL, so we're seeing some storylines coming out of that. And a big night in the NBA. So plenty of stuff to cover. But I want to start out with this one story that really caught my attention. And that is they announced the contracts and the approved extensions and everything for the Alabama coaching staff. So Steve Sarkisian, who is the offensive coordinator of Alabama, this will be his first year. He's going to average $1.6 million over the next 3 years as a coach per year as the offensive coordinator. And the defensive coordinator is going to average, I think it was $1.8 million over each year over the next 3 years. So I just wanted to point out that, you know, not that Alabama has any sort of advantage and there's no Power 5 privilege, but, you know, when your offensive and defensive coordinator make more money each than half of the head coaches in Division I football, I mean, does that give you a little bit of a competitive advantage?
Only slightly. I'm just concerned, Loudbeard, because there's just not enough money to go around. I feel like Alabama's going to be spread thin financially here with these contracts.
They are. There just isn't enough money to go around. And I just wanted to throw out a couple notables. A guy like Charlie Strong over at USF, he is making less than both the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator of the Alabama Roll Tide. Another name kind of thrown out there, I guess I'll stick with the Florida man theme here. FAU coach Lane Kiffin also making less money than each the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator of the...
Do you think he regrets regrets going?
Nope. I don't think so.
That could have been him being the offensive coordinator getting paid that much.
That's true. He could be getting paid more money in Alabama as a coordinator than he is as a head coach. Other, just throwing it out towards the bottom of the list, Division One college football. You got Akron. Terry Bowden is the head coach. He's making just over $400,000. And a coach at like Louisiana Monroe, guy's making about $390,000. The head coach of these programs is making a third of what the defensive coordinator of the Alabama team is making. And when you look at all that, Saban's making over $8 million a year. I mean, between the three of them, they're making well over $10 million. And a lot of other programs can't afford to pay their head coach more than $400,000. So, yeah, I'm just going to say it's a pretty even playing field out there in college football.
Well, this is why I think it's like, oh, you can't pay the players because then it won't be an even playing field. It's not an even playing field now. It's not even remotely close to being an even playing field. So, I don't get me started, Loud Beard. I don't got time for this morning. I'm filling out my bracket right now as we speak. I'm on MinutemanTickets.com. I searched out Craft Brewed Sports, and then I'm going to head over to 12OunceSports.com and click the link of their March Madness link, and I'm going to enter there because right now I have Duke losing to, who did I have them losing to? Virginia Tech in the Sweet 16. So I got to fill out another bracket where I make them a little bit further into the tournament.
I mean, you're just down on Duke, aren't you? You just don't want to see them win. They're just too good of a team. You want to see the mighty fall. I like it. I like where you're going there. And it's not 12OunceSports.com. It's 12OunceSportsRadio.com.
12OZSportsRadio.com. It's also where you can hear us live every morning from 6 to 7, every morning from 11 to 12 on replay. Good times on 12-Ounce Sports Radio. Check out the website. They got a lot of cool stuff. They got articles. They got sponsorship pages. Like, you can get discounts on golf, tickets, those kinds of things. Yeah, so I'm done making my plug. I'm going to continue making picks. Ohio State or Kentucky? Who you got?
Kentucky.
There you go. Good call.
All right. Yeah. Throw some at me. I'll give you some.
All right. Kansas or North Carolina?
North Carolina.
Villanova or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Mm. Or the defending champs, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
And
Cincinnati,
Kansas,
man. Tough. I'm telling
Kansas,
you, they're good.
Kansas State or Virginia?
Yeah, it's got to be Virginia, right?
All right.
It's got to be.
That means you got a Virginia making the Elite Eight.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too high on K-State. You know, a lot of people are down on Virginia just because of the big upset last year and then being the number one seed and getting upset. But this is a better team this year. This is a good Virginia team. So you're doing the right thing getting them to the Elite Eight. I think that's a pretty solid move there.
I just did it. I put Michigan in the Final Four. I have Michigan versus Michigan State, 2-2 seeds, and then Virginia versus North Carolina, 2-1 seeds in the Final Four.
No, you know, I appreciate that. You know why? Because I'm going up against you. I am both in both of these brackets. These are great challenges to be out there doing. Great prizes on both sides, too. So lots of great prizes. And when you pick teams like Michigan to go that far, it just makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. And you and I, we should have a friendly wager on who goes further, Michigan or Michigan State. Because, you know, I think Michigan State is the best program in the state of Michigan, and you think Michigan is. So we are obviously on opposite sides of the fence.
Well, head-to-head, I don't think it matters. It doesn't matter what happens in this tournament. Michigan State beat Michigan three times in a row.
Yes,
so
it's true.
If they get to that Final Four where it's Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan better hope the fourth time's the charm because they haven't had luck three times this season.
Like, but isn't that scary when you're that team that's lost three times? Like, you have nothing to lose. Like, you're going out there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the team that won three times, a little overconfident. I actually wouldn't want to take, you know, like that one I just stay away from. I'd put no bet on it because I think Michigan, you know, you finally at a certain point, you got to get one, right? You just got to get one.
Yeah, you got to.
I don't think they'll make it that far, though, Chris America. I'm just saying. I know you love your Michigan Wolverines.
I know. So here's what's the problem with picking the tournament, right, is you don't think a team's going to make it that far, but then you start going through each of your games where you're picking, and you're like, well, I don't see Michigan losing to that team. Like, I don't see Michigan losing to Nevada. I don't see Michigan losing to Texas Tech. Gonzaga, Michigan, I don't know, man. That's a tough pick for me because Gonzaga also never makes it deep in the tournament, and I know that Michigan has been there several times in the last 5 years, 6 years, however long it's been, and Gonzaga hasn't. Gonzaga's always been that perennial team that's like, it's that mid-major school that you've heard of, you know they're there, but they're never in the Final Four or they're never in the finals, I don't think. I got to look it up to see when the last time they were in the Final Four was, but they don't always make deep runs in the NCAA tournament.
That's a bold statement, Cotton. You know, the Michigan Wolverines, they're going to have a tough matchup if they get to as far as going against Gonzaga. Gonzaga is good. I get what you're saying. You're looking at history. You're getting going with your gut feeling. Miss America also likes Michigan Wolverines, so I feel like you've got a little bit of a sway on that side.
Maybe a slight bias. Maybe.
I feel like a slight bias,
yeah. Listen, man, when you know where your bread is buttered, you butter it.
Oh, boy. Yep. Okay, I see where you're going with this. Yep, definitely. Now, here's the problem. You didn't take into account that Gonzaga has to get through FDU first. So we can't just crown
them. Oh, that's true. You're right.
Today is March 21st, and one of the big battles at 7:27 p.m. tonight is Farley Dickinson University going up against Gonzaga. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be no walk in the park for Gonzaga. I watched this team last night,
Jenkins
or two nights
Edge,
ago.
Right? Jenkins and Edge.
Jenkins and Edge. These guards. The guard play for FDU is top-notch. Yeah, it's a little unorthodox. Jenkins is a small guy, but he's shifty and quick, and he can control the ball, and he's gonna be the difference maker in this game. Now, they're a very lovable underdog. I understand that. I'm going up against, or I'm using information from them playing a lesser team than Gonzaga, so I get that, but I'm telling you, this could be, imagine if FDU upset Gonzaga. Oh boy, the world would come crashing down. I would love it, and guess what? They're the Knights, and you know me, I love Knights.
Go Knights, charge on.
And just a little side note, I'm going to go down and go back into history. You're going to hear a little bit about Loudbeard's story. When I was in middle school, my mascot was a knight. When I was in high school, my mascot was a knight. When I was in college, my mascot was a knight. And now the FDU team's mascot is a knight. It's destiny, my friend. It's destiny.
What do you think would be a bigger upset? Farley Dickinson over Gonzaga or UCF over Duke?
Bigger upset would be FDU over Gonzaga. That would be a bigger upset. Now, UCF over Duke would still be a huge upset because Duke has so much steam going into the March Madness with Zion and everything. Just because FDU is basically a no-name college, I would say that would be the one reason why that would be a bigger upset, and it would be 1 versus 16, where UCF's ranked 9. So then you're looking at a 9 upsetting a 1, which isn't as crazy as a 16 upsetting a 1. So a little bit of a bigger one upset, but it would still be just, you know, world crashing down around us if Duke lost to UCF. And I, of course, I'd like to see that, but, you know, that's my bias coming out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think a lot of Americans would like to see it because they hate Duke. Duke is one of those hated teams because they win.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I don't know, man. Duke is... It's hard not to like them because they're so fun to watch right now. Zion, I mean, the guy's always got these circus dunks. He's putting up a ton of points. That's just, like, fun for me to watch. I get why people want to hate him because it's like the one elite team. It's kind of like the Alabama of college basketball where you're like tired of seeing that same team at the top with the best coach in college basketball and all that. But at the same time, I love watching them because they're just fun to watch. Now, last night we had some good games on. St. John's played Arizona State. St. John's loses 65-74. I watched this game, not as exciting. Arizona State kind of led the entire game. It never seemed like it was close. They got off to an early lead and just never looked back. So St. John's, Chris Mullen, coach over there, they did a great job getting to the dance, but they are taking an early exit. Arizona State, who's led by Bobby Hurley, another one of those Duke legendary players that is hated in the history of Duke. He is the coach of Arizona State. He leads his team to a victory, which is nice. Now, on the other game, this was another one of those FDU-type games where we had North Carolina Central versus North Dakota State. Chris America, this was another amazing game. One of those games that I would have said, no, I don't want to watch that. It's a stupid play-in game with teams I don't even know who they are. These guys battled back and forth. There was a big lead at one point. There was a comeback, and North Dakota State ends up with a 78-74 victory. I'm feeling the madness. March Madness is running through my veins. I love it.
Yes, and I'm going to get things kicked off today. What is the schedule today? Let's look that up here.
Oh, NCAA. It's got a lot going on today, my friend. So
some
of the big
noon
matchups, Florida State coming on at 2. You got to like to watch that. You love that. Michigan State, my team, hitting it up. They're not really my team, but
so Minnesota-Louisville kick things off today at 12:15. And then right after that, Yale versus LSU at 12:40. Bradley, Loudbeard, let's go over Bradley. Where do you think Bradley is?
Where do I think it is?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go again in Massachusetts. It sounds like a Massachusetts type of school.
And what do you think their mascot is?
Bulldog. I'm going Bradley Bulldogs. That makes sense.
Close. They're the Braves.
Same thing. That's
yeah.
The Bulldogs are Brave.
There's the Georgia Bulldogs and there's the Atlanta Braves. They're both in whatchamacallit?
Georgia. So
yeah.
Is Bradley in Georgia?
No, it's in Peoria.
Then what are you,
it's in that Middle East state of Illinois.
Oh, Chicago.
Good old Mideast Illinois.
All right. Okay. So that's Bradley. They're going to get upset today by Michigan State. I'm calling my shot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Murray State.
Is that a pretty safe bet?
Where do you think Bill Murray State is at?
Is that Georgia?
I don't know. Let's find out. Bill Murray State. Murray State University.
Nope.
They're in Kentucky.
No. I was way off. I've heard of Murray State. They've been a relevant basketball team for a while. They're pretty well known. I just didn't know what state they were in. Should I know these things?
They are the Racers.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah. I would never have either.
Is it a race car or is it like a black snake where it's like a black racer?
Let's find out. It's a that makes sense. It's a Kentucky Derby racer.
Oh, so their mascot
like a dude on a,
is a jockey?
Yeah. So their logo is an M with a guy on a horse riding at you, like a jockey on a horse riding towards you.
Now, if you're a college student or like a potential college student, an athlete that's going to pick a school, and you see that your mascot is a jockey, do you think that like sways you from going to Murray State?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's better than
I'm
going to
be the
like,
fighting jockeys.
I mean, is that better than a horned frog?
Not much better, but yeah, I don't know. Horned frog's cooler than a jockey. Jockey's at the bottom of the barrel of cool mascots, man.
All right, what about Abilene Christian?
That's Texas.
Oh, how did y'all go? Abilene, Texas. That makes sense.
Yep.
Their nickname is the Wildcats. That's kind of boring. Boo. So generic.
Well, guess what? They're playing the Wildcats. Uh-oh.
Wildcats versus Wildcats of Texas.
Well, who's a better state, Texas or Kentucky? I guess we'll find out.
It'll come down to that. That's for sure. Everybody knows that college basketball decides everything.
All right.
And what about Gardner-Webb?
Gardner-Webb.
Yes, we're here to educate everybody on all these schools.
Yeah. We're going down a rabbit hole, but that's okay. We like doing this. Gardner-Webb, that sounds like a Texas school.
No, North Carolina.
Nope, I was way off. Okay.
Yeah, and it was named after a Governor Webb and his wife, Gardner. Or no, Governor Gardner and his wife, Webb, like their last names.
All right, so I've got a couple for you. I want you to tell me what state these ones are in.
Okay.
The next one, this is a big big bracket here. Number 15 versus number 2. Montana. Okay, go ahead. What state is that in?
Montana, that is... oh, God, Montana. Isn't that a Canadian school?
That it is.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Gardner Webb, the running Bulldogs. See, I like that. It's a little bit better. It's
Man.
Not just the Bulldogs.
The running Bulldogs. Yeah.
And is it the Montana? Is it the Montana? It's not the Bison. No, that's like South Dakota State. It's the Montana. It's the Montana Horned Unicorns.
You're close. Grizzlies.
Yeah. Oh, it is. I thought North Dakota was the Grizzlies. All right, Montana Grizzlies. That makes sense.
North Dakota could be the Grizzlies also. They're all Grizzlies.
There's grizzly bears up there.
All right, the team that they're playing, what state are they from? Michigan.
Michigan. Now, see, you would think it would be Michigan, but it's actually in Hawaii. They have a school named after a state.
I like it. See, you're all over this. All right. Well, March Madness starts today, like the real madness, not the play-in games. Everybody get your brackets in by noon. This is going to be a lot of fun. We had good time here talking about these crazy schools, and we got our brackets filled out. We're ready for it.
Once you know what? You're going to go to work today. You're going to go to work today and say, I know a lot about college basketball now because of Scout Team Sports or Scout Team Radio.
And then tomorrow you can tweet at us at Scout Team Radio and then tell us how awesome your bracket is doing. And when you do, all I'm going to be hearing is... That's
hey,
it.
Do you think the Colgate Raiders, like, do you think it's because the Colgate raids your teeth and gets rid of the gingivitis?
Yes, that's all true. So who do you think's worse, bracket guy
Florida
or
State.
Fantasy football guy?
I feel like they're the same person. I really do, but... If they're not, let's because there are guys that are just into college basketball, and there are guys who are just into fantasy football. I gotta go bracket guy. I really do because I really don't care who you picked. If somebody has like a interesting roster story or an interesting draft story like mine, where I'm like, yeah, I totally went on auto draft and I ended up with three amazing running backs in Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, and Saquon Barkley. Like, to me, I like hearing that. But if you're like, oh, I totally picked Colgate to beat, who is Colgate playing? Tennessee. I'm like, okay, good for you.
Yeah, like, who cares? Nobody cares.
Or that guy that's like, when UMBC beats Virginia, he's like, I totally picked them to win in one of my 33 brackets that I filled out.
Yeah, that guy. Okay, you're right. Bracket guy is the worst.
Yeah.
He's the worst. All right. Well, moving on from March Madness, a lot of other stuff going on in the world. I mentioned baseball being back. We have a couple minutes here before the commercial break. Ichiro, I've talked about him 3 days in a row now, which is crazy. I don't know how this is happening. But
why don't you marry him?
Yeah, it's happening. I'm moving to Japan. I'm taking over Tokyo. Scout team on the road. Ichiro gets the ovation he deserves. The fans love him over in Japan. He's getting standing ovations when he gets pulled from the game. He got a standing ovation at the very beginning. They give him a beautiful ceremony. It was touching. I'll be honest with you. There was a slight tear drizzling down my cheek. Just saying.
Like the fake Native American in that commercial from the 70s where he's picking up the garbage.
That is exactly what that's like. And the Mariners, they get a big win over the A's. So first game of the season, we've got Domingo Santana with a grand slam. He gets a big grand slam for the Mariners as he carries his team to the win. 9-7 is the final in this one. So baseball is back. We're getting ready for it. So that was the opening game, but it's not really opening day yet. So I don't know.
Right.
I'm still confused. Like, they should just put it all together.
Regular season first pitch.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a story where they considered this game the appetizer to the baseball season.
And I got a question. What would you rather do? Throw out a first pitch in, like, the World Series or go have, like, fast food with the president at the White House?
Hmm. That's a good question, and I think I'm going to answer that on the flip side. So stay tuned for a quick commercial break. When I come back, I will answer the hard-hitting question from Chris America. Hey, Kawhi, what are you laughing at, man? This isn't funny. Fantasy sports reimagined. FanDuel, that's what I'm talking about. It is more than just fantasy sports. It's the best way to watch the games, win real cash, and bring the action right to your living room. Just choose a contest, make your picks, watch, and win. And if you go to FanDuel.com/STR today, you can get a $5 deposit bonus. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/STR. Come on, man. This is not a laughing matter.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
If you've been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
We want to thank all of our listeners for checking us out. That's right, we're Scout Team Radio. We come hot and live each and every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. on 12-ounce sports radio. We appreciate you and thank you for listening in. We also drop a podcast. That podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or our website, scoutteamradio.com. And we also are partnered with the Barn Burner Podcast Network. So our podcast gets aired on the Barn Burner Podcast Network, and we love those guys over there in Canada. That's a great network. All right. Hit us up on Twitter. That's right. We like to get interactive. So we're at Scout Team Radio on Twitter. Make sure you hit us up. You can find us for a good time on Twitter. That's what I'm just going to say. Leave it there. Just going to leave it there. Okay. So without further ado, Chris America asked me a really tough question before the break. And I have to say, going to the White House and getting fast food right there. I'm putting that a little bit above, throwing out the first pitch. I'm just saying. I'm putting that a little bit above. I'm going to the White House. I have a weakness for fast food.
That's true. Especially if there's Tim Hortons there. I fell in love with Tim Hortons.
Have you ever even eaten there?
No, but I've looked at their menu and I fantasized about eating there. And it was fantastic. I think the only difference with the first pitch is that nerves, is actually getting it to the strike zone. Because if you fail, you just embarrassed yourself. And now that moment's ruined.
You're a meme.
You are.
You will become a meme. You're going to
be
everywhere.
A meme. You're going to be a GIF or a GIF, whichever one you choose. It'll be awful. It'll ruin that moment.
Yes. Yes, it will. I do have to say that some of the funniest videos have been like celebrities doing terrible first pitches. So,
I mean, we mentioned the president. Didn't Obama have a really bad first pitch? Like, I feel like he had one that was like way outside.
Yeah.
But again, like you get up there and you think it's like, oh, that's an easy throw. But that home plate, I bet, gets further and further away.
You just can't try too hard. That's the problem.
That's what she said.
So trust. I want to talk to you a little bit about trust, Chris America. There's got to be a little trust in the world, and I've lost a lot of trust. I've lost a lot of trust in Dave Gettleman. I'm just letting you know that now. Him and I, we had a good relationship. Relationships are built off of trust, and I've lost trust in him because, you know, reports are coming out that he says that they lack interest in Dwayne Haskins. They don't have any interest. But I found out last night he took him out to dinner. They're whining and dining Dwayne Haskins, the Giants are, after they told me being a huge Eli Manning fan and being his number one supporter, that they weren't going to go after Dwayne Haskins in the NFL draft. Can I trust my good friend Dave Gettleman any longer?
No. No, you cannot. If you've lost interest in him, what are you doing taking him to dinner?
It's a good question.
But it's a complete stupid swerve of, like, they don't want other teams to know about what they're doing. But I feel like nowadays, teams know.
They do. And, you know, it's like same thing with the Arizona Cardinals. Josh Rosen, also a good friend of mine, they're doing them dirty. They say, Josh Rosen's our quarterback. But we just happened to show up at the Oklahoma campus while Kyler Murray's there doing pro days and stuff. And we're just going to meet with them on the side. You know, Cliff Kingsbury, the GM. We're going to have a discussion with them. Come on, man. We all know you're picking Kyler Murray number one overall. Can you just stop pretending? Like, can we just stop pretending? I mean, just tell everybody. Put it out there. We already know. I don't get it.
No, I don't either. Again, it's just stupid secretive stuff. Unless you're going to trade the pick, you know, unless you're trying to use it for leverage to trade the pick, I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right. Well, here's another guy that it's tough to trust. Coach Calipari. Do you trust this guy?
Coach Calipari? No, not at all.
Okay. Calipari. He was recently linked to the UCLA vacancy, and he said, in my opinion, there is no better job in the world than to coach basketball at Kentucky. He says he's not going anywhere. Do you believe him? If you think if UCLA backed up the Brinks truck, overpaid this guy, do you think Calipari would ever leave Kentucky, or do you think he is sincere saying that he wants to be at Kentucky the rest of his career?
I think if they backed the Brinks truck up, he would let Kentucky know and say, this is what it's going to take to keep me. And then Kentucky, he knows that Kentucky will pay him, and then he'll stay at Kentucky.
Okay. Okay. All right. One last guy that I have a lot of trust in, and that's Kobe Bryant. Because Kobe Bryant, he came out and supported my man LeBron. And I like a guy that is a stand-up guy that is very trustworthy. A guy like Kobe. Because he comes out in an interview with ESPN, and he says, you know, you just got to keep pushing, because it's seasons like this that make championships worth it. And he said that he feels like injuries were the problem this year with the Lakers, and they were doing great until the injuries hit. So Kobe's sticking up for my guy LeBron. I got a lot of trust in Kobe. He's a good guy. Do you think I should be trusting Kobe?
Yeah, definitely trust Kobe. He's the Black Mamba. What's not to trust?
And that's right. He's not a snake in the grass, right?
Not at all.
Okay. Kind of ironic with him being a Black Mamba, him not
a little too ironic. Don't you think?
Well, Robert Kraft, here's another guy I have a lot of trust in. I mean, he can win championships, but he rejects his plea deal. I want to get your insight on this. Yes, he rejected the plea deal because it required him to admit that he would have been proven guilty in court for soliciting prostitution. He did not want to admit that he was guilty. He just wanted it to go away. And they're, I guess because he's such a figurehead, they're pushing that he would have to admit that he was would have been found guilty.
Yeah. I saw the plea deal, right? And the plea deal basically said they'll drop all charges only if the defendants would admit they would have been proven guilty in court, which is just such a weird thing to say. And it almost makes me feel like the prosecutors are not confident in the way that this thing went down. So we all know Robert Kraft is guilty. Anybody can watch the video. and see him walk into this place, pay money, and then get a little, you know, R&T. We all see that. However, that's not how court systems work, right? There's always these loopholes and these, did they get the right forms filled out? Did they get the right warrants filled out? Did they dot their I's and cross their T's on this form? Did they do this on this thing? And then any good defense attorney, which I'm sure Robert Kraft can afford, can look through all those things and say, Judge, this video needs to be thrown out of the court of law because of X, Y, and Z. And the prosecution will lose their entire case if they lose that video. And I think that the prosecution knows that there's a possibility that that could happen.
See, I think it's what happened, and not just the dot in the I's and cross in the T's. What I think happened is they bring them back and they bring them into the precinct. And then all of a sudden there's a couple cops over in the corner. You know, they're in the other unit. They're kind of like a little covert unit. But these guys are from Boston, right? So all of a sudden they come over and they see Robert Kraft. And they're high-fiving him, giving him hugs. They're like, dude, what are you doing here? What's going on? And somebody else is just videotaping it. So, you know, when I say videotaping, I'm from the 90s. Somebody's videotaping it on their phone. And I think there's just a video out there of cops giving Robert Kraft high fives for getting arrested for prostitution, and it's a bad look. So that's what I think happened. And they don't want that to come out.
That's a good theory.
That's a good theory, right?
That is a
I mean, guys from Boston, come on. If you were from Boston and you were at some little podunk police station in Jupiter, Florida, and all of a sudden Robert Kraft walked in, what are you doing? Are you just going to sit there and let everything just happen? Or are you going to go over and, what's up, bro? Hey.
What's up, bro?
Hey, I owe you big time. I owe you big time. All those championships. Hey, whatever they're telling you did, you didn't do that.
You didn't do it.
No. Now, no. I'm going to get you out of here.
You know what they said? They said, no siree, Bob.
Wow. I like the wordplay.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. It's too early for that, huh? So Robert Kraft making history in the courtroom. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers making history out there with their coaching staff. So Tampa Bay Buccaneers become the first team in history to hire two female assistant coaches. We becoming a progressive society finally, Chris America?
Yes, we are. We're getting there slowly but surely. A lot of people are kicking and screaming along the way, but just like with anything in society, it'll eventually come. I mean, we started out as a nation for equality. That's what we said our stated purpose was, and we solidified that in a constitution, and it's just taken us a little bit of some time, way too long, to get everybody on board that everybody is equal and should have equal opportunities. So we're getting there, Loudbeard. We are definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, big time work in progress.
We talked about dysfunctional families yesterday on the show. We, as in a country, are one insanely dysfunctional family.
That we are. Okay, I've got two takes on this that I just need to throw out real quick. So I have three daughters, and I like this because one of my daughters plays collegiate soccer, and soccer is one of those sports where the women's national team has been in the news lately because of equality and trying to get equal pay. And it's you know, women's sports don't really get the recognition that they deserve. So hearing that two female assistant coaches were hired by the Bucks, to me, that's nice. But the other take I have is it mildly ironic or maybe hypocritical that the one team that is progressive with adding additional women as coaches and being a progressive football team is the team of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And in Tampa Bay, especially where the stadium is, within like a 5-mile radius, there's probably 250 strip clubs. Is that ironic or coincidental, or am I overlooking, or am I looking too much into this?
Now you're getting super deep as to, like, I mean, number one, can they really control how many strip clubs are around them? Number two, what is your feelings on the freedom of women having the choice to go into that line of work? Or do you think it's more of a forced choice kind of deal? I mean, there's so many things, Loudbeard. This topic is an onion. There's a lot of layers to peel in it. There's a lot of discussion here. So you tell me. You tell me, because
I don't think I'm ready to go that deep.
Yeah. I can go a million different ways with this.
All right. So I'll pass on that. That We'll call that a soft take. That's a soft take, yeah. And I'm moving on. Here's another take. Le'Veon Bell has an interview, and he starts talking about his relationship with Big Ben, and he does say that Big Ben was a factor of why he wanted to leave the Steelers. So now we're hearing Antonio Brown having beef with Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell having beef with Big Ben. And he states that he Big Ben tries to control everything, and the team lets him get there. Is that still another bad look for the Steelers? I mean, this team right now is a train wreck.
I think it's a bad look. Steeler fans won't, because they think that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell were the problem and they're a bunch of divas and we're glad they're gone. But I believe them, partially because it's what I've always thought about Big Ben. And he kind of proves it all on his own. I mean, he went two seasons in a row being like, I could retire now if I want to. I don't know. I'll sleep on it. I'll let you guys know, which I guess it's his prerogative to do that. But at the same time, you're holding your team hostage. I still don't know why the Steelers haven't gotten their guy behind them, unless they're going for Mason Rudolph to be their next big thing out of Oklahoma State. But yeah, I can totally see Big Ben being that guy that's really rough around the edges and hard to deal with.
Yeah, I looked at some of the details of this interview, and you know, he kind of dug in a little bit about how Big Ben wanted to control the team, and if he wanted to give a guy like Antonio Brown, I guess he said more of Juju Schuster-Smith. So if he wanted to give him the ball and not Antonio Brown and leave Antonio Brown out of the play game plan, he would do that. And he would just throw the ball to Juju, or he would just throw it to like Jesse James or Vance McDonald. He said that Big Ben controlled how these players got the ball and where it was going. And I kind of, after I was like reading that part, I'm like, yeah, he's the quarterback. And all the quarterbacks have some sort of control, especially a guy that's won a Super Bowl, that has been the quarterback of that team for, what, 15 years? I don't understand what he's going for here. I think this is that diva status. Like you said, that this is them being a diva. Both Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell have that diva. They want to be the center of attention. They want to be the biggest names on their team. And I just don't think that meshed very well with Ben. And I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I think he is kind of a tool.
Well, that kind of sounds divish to me on Big Ben's part. Like, oh, I don't want you to get the ball, so I'm not going to get you the ball. And yeah, I can see that's the reason why they haven't won a Super Bowl, why the Killer Bees haven't gotten that far, because I feel like the number one, the first Super Bowl, Big Ben had nothing to do with. It was one of the worst, probably the worst performances by a quarterback to win a Super Bowl was Big Ben against the Seattle Seahawks. It was god awful. The second time around, it was all Big Ben and all them. I mean, their defense played a good part of it too, but it was a good team effort. It was a solid win. You know, you had that fumble recovered, returned all the way down to the end zone before halftime. That was a huge play in that game against the Cardinals and everything. And then you've just kind of seen where the Steelers are such a good team, and they have a lot of talent, and they get a lot of wins. But when they make it to the playoffs, something just isn't there. They can't get it done. And if your quarterback and your wide receivers and your running back can't get on the same page, I feel like it's everybody's fault at that point. And it does have to fall more on the quarterback, because like you said, he does get to pick and choose who gets the ball, but he also has to be the leader. He has to be the one that checks his ego at the door and says, I'm going to throw the ball to whoever's open. So if Antonio Brown's open, I'm going to throw the ball to Antonio Brown. I'm not going to shove it or force it to Juju Schuster-Smith because I don't like Antonio Brown today. No, like, if Antonio Brown's open, you throw it to him. If Le'Veon Bell's open, you throw it to him.
You know, I keep hearing this about how Ben wouldn't throw the ball to Antonio Brown, but didn't he, like, lead the league in receptions for multiple years? He was always up there. He always got the ball. I mean, he just always wanted it more. That's where that diva comes in. The statistics don't show me that he wasn't throwing the ball to Antonio Brown.
We would have to, like, check every single play to see, like, look, yes, Antonio Brown caught 10 passes today, but he was also wide open on like 7 more. And Big Ben saw him and looked the other way and then checked it down to Juju Schuster-Smith.
It sounds like a good homework project for you this weekend.
Yeah. I'll leave that up to you, bud.
No, you got this. You got this. Oh, good times, my friend. All right, I'm going to move on from the NFL because Big news came out of UFC yesterday. Bantamweight champion TJ Dillashaw, he's suspended for 1 year for use of prohibited substances violation. What are your thoughts on this, Dillashaw? He's not a huge name, but if you're a UFC fan, you know who he is.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite, too. A lot of people like him. It actually comes as a surprise to a lot of fighting fans as well. And so he comes out. He is the champion. He relinquishes his belt. He says, I'm going to give it up. But he also did the whole denial thing, right? It's not often.
They always do. They always
do. Yeah, I think Chael Sonnen's the only guy that's ever said, yeah, I took steroids. I thought I was going to get beat by this guy, so I took steroids, and I thought I could take this other thing, and it would mask it, and it didn't. So you caught me. My bad. But at least he's not like, oh, I don't know, I took this, so I'm going to hold on to this belt. I'm going to fight this. He's relinquished his belt. He stepped out of the way. He's like, let me take care of my legal issues now with USADA and the NYAC, and let me get that cleared up, and I'm not going to hold UFC or the belt hostage.
So what are some of the worst denials in history? I mean, I think about this, and a guy like Ryan Braun comes to mind, where Aaron Rodgers comes out and defends him, and yeah, he was guilty. Like, everybody's always guilty. Hardly ever does somebody come out, and I mean, John Jones, he'll never admit to it, but he's dirty.
No. And John Jones actually had this one line from one of his repeals. He said, science has been kicking my ass. And it's true. It's science, man. Either you have it or you don't have it. Now, can I believe that these guys get stuff in their system by mistake? I can, because you're trusting these nutritionists and these trainers and your coaches to give you the right thing. And if they say, here, just take this, I think 9 times out of 10, the guys just trust them. And I think the thing is, you mentioned how trust is very important. I think that you need to not have trust. You need to have everything read out to you. Like, what is in that? I'm not putting that in my body until you read off every single thing. And I'm going to cross-reference it to, you know, all of the banned substances. Because there's a laundry list of banned substances on these lists of USADAs and things like that. So I can believe that sometimes mistakes happen. You're taking lots of things. You're trusting lots of people. I don't think every single fighter who's tested positive is like, hit me up, hit me with the juice. I'm going to try to get away with it.
I think he used poppy seeds on his bagel.
Is that what it was? That happens.
False
it happens
positive.
All the time, man. False positive.
That it does. Yeah, bad news for UFC, because again, it's a fan favorite fighter, and UFC's had kind of a bad run with John Jones, one of the biggest names, having substance violation issues. Now TJ Dillashaw, we have the suspensions with Conor McGregor and Nurmagomedov. I don't know. I guess it's that type of sport. It's a gladiator sport. You're going to have these issues, but where does it end?
Right.
We got to clean it up a little bit. Something's got to happen. Dana White just got a huge extension, and he needs to figure this thing out, because we don't want the sport to go away. We love it. So
yeah,
we want him to be successful.
I don't know what the testing policies were prior to this time and period. Like, I don't know the history of testing in the UFC, but maybe like they're just testing harder. They're testing for more different substances and stuff like that, or they've expanded the list of banned substances, and now these things that weren't banned are now banned. I don't know what the answer is, but you're right, man. There seems to be a lot of fights getting ruined by this type of story.
Yeah, Lesnar, another one that got suspected of it.
He's one of those guys where you're like, oh yeah, like that makes
like,
sense.
I'm not surprised.
Nobody's
surprised
that Brock Lesnar tested positive for steroids.
Nope. All right, well, I'm going to finish off the show talking a little NBA. Last night, you know, a guy I trust is James Harden, because he has a beard, and guys with beards are trustworthy. I'm just letting everybody out there know.
Santa.
Advice from Loudbeard. Jesus, Santa, Loudbeard, James Harden.
All
in
the
that
same
order.
Yep.
In that order, yes. James Harden had a big night, 57 points last night, but his Houston Rockets, unfortunately, in overtime, fall to the red-hot Memphis Grizzlies, 126-125.
The 9-game winning streak over.
Just like that. In overtime,
really
57
to see
points
them,
from Harden, too. Crazy.
I really wanted to see them make it to the third seed, just because you said it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, but I'm right, so that's what usually happens. So Embiid, last night with a big night for the 76ers, 37 points, 22 rebounds, and they get their victory over the Boston Celtics, 118-115. One of the highlights of the evening, Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid end up going at it. Embiid kind of knocks Smart down. It didn't look like it was an intentional knockdown, but he knocks him down. Smart gets up and pushes Embiid down, and all of a sudden a scrum breaks out. And at that point, Boston was winning 69-58. But then Marcus Smart, he unleashed the beast. He brought out the Incredible Hulk version of Joel Embiid, and after that point, Joel Embiid came back. Hulk smashed the Boston Celtics into the ground for that victory for the 76ers.
I was going to say, you said that he got knocked down, he got back up again, and then he got knocked down. And then he popped in Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba and went off on the basketball.
Can you sing that for me one more time? Just one more time, real quick.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. But you're never going to keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. Pissing the night away.
Thank you all for listening in.
Away.
We appreciate it.
She drinks the whiskey drink. She drinks the vodka drink. She drinks the lager drink. She drinks the cider drink. She sings songs that remind her of the good times. She sings songs that remind her of the better times.
I'm terrible with lyrics.
Yeah, for some reason I can't remember athletes' names, but I can remember song lyrics from 20 years ago.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?